Valley, and Mrs. William Bora, who is our guest today. She is going to have her 101st birthday on October 17th, 1971, which will be on Sunday. And our show today will be just a couple of days preceding Mrs. Bora's birthday. She's the widow of Senator William Bora, who was a senator from Idaho, and she is now a resident of Maryville Nursing Home in Beaverton, which is run by the Sisters of St. Mary of Oregon. And as we talk with Mrs. Bora today, Sister Christine is going to help us in following her life from when she was a very tiny young lady up until what she's doing at the present time. Good afternoon, Mrs. Bora.
Good afternoon.
Now, you were born in Eureka, California?
Yes.
101 years ago?
Yes. And I don't remember exactly the day, but I can almost remember the second day of my life.
Very good.
When I was taken by my grandmother, who thought that I was the most beautiful baby that had ever been born, but I was slightly disfigured by some red spots which seemed to be in the blood under the skin. And grandmother should have been a doctor if she'd been a man. But at once she knew what she was going to do. She was going to take this baby to a famous doctor that she had read about and see that those red spots were obliterated at once. So, mother wasn't well, because my brother was only a few months older than I, and that mother was a very delicate woman anyway. So she consented to let grandmother take me to this famous man who wasn't far away. And so grandmother bundled me up and took me on this little train that ran to Portland. And she first had written a note to the doctor describing my symptoms, and he had written back to her, "Bring the child to me," and he had made the date when she was to take the baby to. So when she arrived in Portland, she was too early to go to the doctor, but she had been wise enough to make an engagement at the little hotel in the village. And we might have to be there for a few days while he treated me. So after she got me bundled off up to the hotel and cuddled in bed, I was a good baby. But on the train going down to Portland, there had been a strange woman who never took her eyes off me. Grandmother told the story afterward. She said the woman fascinated her. She wasn't afraid of her, but this woman never took her eyes off of the child. And so when we arrived in Portland, grandmother made the reservation, and she turned and saw that woman was in the very spot again. So she heard the clerk say to the woman, "Madam, what kind of a room do you want?" And the woman said, "I'll not take a room now because I expect a friend to meet me here, and she'll probably have her plans." So that was, grandmother remembered that. So she was assigned her room, and she cuddled me down in the bed while she went to the bathroom, which was quite a few steps then. In those days, I think they didn't have bathrooms to each room. Well, when she came back, opened the door, there was no little Mary. The bed had been robbed. I was gone. Oh. Grandmother ran screaming down the hall. My grandchild has been kidnapped. Well, there was some sort of a conference going on, and the lobby was filled with men, and they were all so excited. And a porter came up from the bathroom, and he said, "Why, I saw a woman half an hour ago with a big bundle in her arms going through the lower part of the hotel and out the back door." Well, the men all started out. They forgot that they were being delegates to some sort of convention. They went out to hunt me. Well, I think perhaps in three quarters of an hour they located this woman with little Mary. Probably I was screaming at the top of my voice. And, well, anyway, they had an awful time getting me away from this very strong woman. But they finally got me, and here I am today.
I'm so glad that they found you.
Well, a whole life full of adventure after that. That was my first venture in life. But it seemed to me that it just kept on through the years. I was either in the newspaper with some kind of a disease that nobody else had ever had in the world, or something to keep me in the limelight. I was not beautiful, not fascinating, but I just kept up the pace. And so when I met my husband-to-be, he had just made a speech for my father.
And your father was William J. McConnell, who was one of the first United States senators from Idaho,
yes.
And also a governor of that state,
yes.
Was he not?
Yes. Well, anyway, I think Mr. Borah was then just out of college, and he was with a group of young students trying to find out something about the world that he was soon to tumble into. And, well, let's see that.
When you met your husband, he was working with your father, or for your father then, right?
Yeah.
And he also worked in your father's campaign?
Well, not exactly, but I couldn't say that he worked in the campaign. But he was very interested in my father. And my father asked these young college men questions. And Mr. Borah was young, and he was the only one who seemed able to answer any kind of question that father propounded to him. Well, anyway, then life went on, and by, I was a big girl, and I met Mr. Borah, and recalled some of the things that had happened. Well, we became friends, and one day he came in great haste to tell me something that I must answer immediately. Will you marry me?
Such a question.
I've been appointed by the governor to take care of a big case in Washington. And, well, I had 2 days to get ready to go to Washington. Well, there might be some interesting bits in the between time, but I did. I married Mr. Borah. He was Mr. Borah then. And with the governor of Idaho, we proceeded to Washington. And of course, Washington wasn't entirely new to me, but I had forgotten much about it because I was only a child when my father went into the Senate. And but I had a very interesting few days in Washington, and my greatest interest wasn't in politics as it should have been. It was watching the people on the streets. That was all new to me. And for the first day in any city in the world, a new automobile was being tried out. And I had my eyes glued from the hotel window. People had gone crazy. And men driving horses, the horses were up in the air. And I thought eventually they were coming through the second window. We were on the second floor. And of course, I couldn't imagine what was happening. Well, it turned out later that the first automobile that was ever seen in the world was taking place. And the governor and my husband popped into the room just as excited as I was. I had started a letter to my mother to tell her all the things I had seen. Well, that was my first trip to Washington.
Mrs. Borah, in 1907, Senator Borah was appointed, or he became a senator, and you went back to Washington, and at that time you were invited to attend a dinner at the White House when President Teddy Roosevelt was the president. And your husband told you it was not an invitation, it was a command performance?
Oh, yes.
Can you recall anything about that first time you were at the White House?
Yes, I can remember that very perfectly. I can remember we had been in Washington only a very short time. And my mother, before we went to Washington, advised me about my clothes. Now, don't think that you need a lot of new clothes, because a new senator has to make his place in Washington, and it may be months before you're invited out to any formal dinner at all or any formal meeting. So I had plenty of clothes, such as they were for a girl. I was young, you know, but one day at our door came a colored messenger bearing an invitation to a dinner at the White House. And I had a colored servant. She was with us for 40 years. And she came in with that invitation in her hand, not interested that it was an invitation at all to go to the White House, but telling me about this wonderfully beautiful man who had brought it. He was a colored man, but all the garments he wore. So, of course, in the meantime, I was opening this invitation. And the next morning, bright and early, I started forth to the finest shop in the city, wherein I had never poked my nose, and to buy myself a dress for that first dinner at the White House. And the madam of the shop looked at this young person coming in without much interest. She said, "What color would you prefer?" I said, "Well, I hadn't thought of a special color." I said, "Perhaps blue or pink." And she was very indifferent. She brought out a few things that were really very lovely, but she was so blasé, a young thing, didn't interest her very much. And finally she said to me, "Is the dinner you're going to a formal dinner?" I said, "I presume so. It's at the White House." Well, the woman then nearly fell over, and she became vitally interested in the clothing. And she said, "May I ask you what is your name?" And I said, "Mrs. Bora." "Oh, girls," she called, "this is the young wife of that famous Idaho senator." Well, I was a different person. Oh, how they loved me. And in the end, one of the girls said, "I must show Mrs. Bora the gown that we came in today from Paris." She said, "The loveliest, loveliest thing." Came the vision of the most beautiful gown I had ever put my eyes upon. But I said back, I couldn't think of buying anything so expensive as that. Oh, you'd be surprised how cheap this gown would be. Well, of course, in the end, I bought the gown thinking that my husband would be thrown into jail when he refused to pay the bill. But I thought the price was worth it. And they tried the gown on, and the help in this place was so enthusiastic. The gown was just a fluff of white, the most beautiful thing that was ever made in Paris. And so she said, "And Mrs. Bora, I'm going to get slippers for you just to match it, and stockings." And so, well,
that's what you wore to the White House dinner the first time you went
that
there.
That was the first time. But when I got home, I tried the dress on. It needed a few little pinnings, and I was to come back. So that night, when my husband came home, I said, "Billy, I bought a dress today for the White House dinner, but I think you're going to leave me before we go." I said, "It was very expensive." He said, "Honey, I'm so glad you bought it." He said, "I intended to tell you to get the very nicest thing you could find." So that was the kind of a husband I had. I wore the gown. But first I must tell you about the woman who owned the little shop. She said, the last time I saw her, she said, "Mrs. Bora, would you care if I had a painting of you in that gown for my own self to to keep in my room to look at.
Aww.
Of course, I was very young and had golden hair. I never was pretty, but that helped to make me a little bit pretty, because the night we went into the White House for dinner, down this long hall where we were to take off our wraps, which I didn't need any wrap, that beautiful gown kept me nice and warm. But the colored maid in the dressing room said to me, "May I ask you your name, madam?" And I said, "My name is Mrs. Bora." She said, "You're the loveliest thing I've ever seen." And I stooped over and kissed the old colored woman on the forehead. I was happy, you know. I knew I looked all right, and that my husband wouldn't be ashamed of me. So as we went down the hall, we were stopped by the young aide at a desk to find out if we were really invited. But he recognized Senator immediately from his picture. It had been in the paper so many times. So he said, "And Mrs. Bora, you're to be seated at the right of the president." And I said, "Oh." Well, he laughed out loud, and so did my husband. To think of me being seated in a great, great crowd like that, all the diplomatic people. Here I was to sit next to the president. Do you wonder that I did that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that young officer, I saw him several times afterward, and the way he always greeted me was
by putting his hand over his mouth like,
So, well, anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful dinner. I said, "Mr. White, before we came to Washington, I said, Mr. President, we had an old friend of yours visiting us for a few days. He had just written a book, and while he was there, he read us some extracts from the book, and he said, Senator, this book has never been published, but it's one of the finest books that's ever written. He said, nobody knows that I've written it. It hasn't gone to the publishers yet. It has no name. And he said, I hadn't been very well, and I had never told anybody that I was writing this book.
And this man was who?
William Allen White, the famous author. So he said, let me read a little bit to you. So we went in and brought out this book, which was not in form. It was in the rough, and read a few chapters, and Senator was perfectly entranced. And
you told President Roosevelt about this?
Yes, I was telling about the dinner. And the president, of course, was so excited over that book. And he said, I received a copy of the book yesterday, and I immediately took it to the French ambassador, and I said, read this book. It's the finest political story that was ever written.
Do you remember the name of the book?
I said, Mr. President, then I think I can beg a little bit now. I named the book. He said, after Senator was gone, he was making a speech that day. He couldn't see it through. And so Mr. White was reading me. And he read me down a list of names that he might call the book. I shook my head. And he came to Stratagems and Spoils. I said, there's the name for your book. He said, all right, Mary, my book is Stratagems and Spoils. Well, the president, of course, was terribly excited to think that I had named that marvelous book. I said, Mr. President, I think he might have given it that name anyway. But I said, I just like to brag a little bit. And the president laughed and laughed. And the senator was sitting. Of course, it would be like, here's the bed. And they were, President and Mrs. Roosevelt were sitting way across. Mrs. Roosevelt said, Mr. President, what do you think your wife has so interested my husband in? She said, I never saw him pay any attention to a guest. He was always thinking about something else.
You captured the heart of the president the first night you met him then.
Yes, and he was always so kind to me after that. You know, I had so many wonderful photographs of him, great things. And I said to my niece just yesterday, Mary, why didn't you pack my photographs? I said, I had the most wonderful pictures in the world.
What did you do after your husband passed away, Mrs. Borer? You were in Washington, D.C. and worked in the hospitals?
Yes. Well, life, of course, just stopped for me. We came from Washington out to Idaho for the funeral. Then back to Washington. And I thought, well, I can never be here without Billy. I thought that my mind would go. So I made up my mind to rent my apartment and go back to Idaho. But Idaho was changed. Every place in the world was changed. But of course, my friends had all gone, and the babies, when I was there, were grandmothers now. And there wasn't anything for me to do.
So you went back to Washington and worked in the hospitals?
Then I went back.
During the war?
Went back. And there was always a lot to do. I never was idle. And so when my niece came, she said, Aunt Mamie, I'm going to be married, and Mother will be alone, and there's nobody but you. So I sold my earthly possessions, things I'd cherished, and I couldn't go to Idaho. And with my sister.
She's here right now at Maryville Nursing Home with you, right?
Yes.